This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. I hope you had an amazing holiday season. After the holidays, we started getting hit with all this news about raw food, right? Raw food's everything. Raw food's the best. Raw food will help your cats to live forever. It's the greatest thing on earth. Oh, wait. Now, bird flu and we're very confused. So Rita and I did what anyone would do. We reached out to Steve Dale because, you know, the man's got his hands in everything that's companion animal related at the very least. Syndicated radio shows and podcasts and books and appearances, and he sits on 12,000 boards. I couldn't possibly tell you all of it. So we're going to take a break to hear a word from our amazing sponsor.
Amazing.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to pick Steve's brain and find out what he can tell us about all of this because we're so confused. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall. This is where I usually say I'm here with my gorgeous BFF, but she's incredibly ill. And so I was going to do it without her, but Steve's first words were, "It's just you. I wanted both of you." So I'm feeling kind of sad, but you know.
You should back up a little bit because when you say incredibly ill, I think you're going to scare people.
Oh, so- no.
Yeah. Yes,
sick, like,
exactly. Yes.
Blue sick, where you think you're not going to make it, but you...
Yeah, she'll be okay.
She'll be fine. Fever, the yucky stuff. So welcome back, Steve. We're so glad to have you back.
Talking to both of you is one of my favorite things to do when I have the opportunity to do it. This will not be a favorite topic to talk about, but you and I, before we talk about bird flu, if you have time, before we began about Las Vegas. I don't know how that came up, but I go to a veterinary conference every year in Las Vegas. I've been going well over 20 years. And one year, this has to do with cat behavior. One year, I was, it's at New York, New York. The conference was then maybe at MGM. And now it's at Mandalay Bay. It's the Western Veterinary Conference, sometimes called Viticus. I'll be there this year, by the way. If you're a veterinary professional, I'll be presenting, I think, 6 times there. So, and as a conference, it is wonderful. I'm not necessarily a big Vegas person, but anyway.
I've never been. Can you believe it? Is there something
really
wrong with me? I'm going to be 58 in March, and I've never been to Vegas.
It's fun. And, you know, the shows are great. The restaurants now are great. Not cheap. It's not an inexpensive place to be. But I don't gamble, you know, so I'm there for solely for the veterinary conference. I really am. So you're inside all day watching these amazing lectures, or in my case, sometimes lecturing. And I got out, you know, just walking to the next hotel over. And I had one of those drinks that you drink that's a mix of who knows what kind of liquor and strawberry stuff or something.
Okay.
You would know it goes in a... Mix
kind of like a
that.
Frozen, like a daiquiri or margarita or something along those lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are my jam. I'm not a drinker unless it's fruity and frozen and deliciously.
You would love those. Yes. So I'm sitting on a bench drinking my frozen thing. I was just me. It was toward the end of the conference. And this woman sits next to me and says, "Oh, what are you doing in Vegas?" Because everybody there is not from Vegas.
Right, of course.
In that part of Vegas.
Yeah.
And this was probably 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I said, oh, I'm here for a veterinary meeting. She said, oh, you're a veterinarian. I said, no, I'm an animal behavior consultant. She said, well, what did you talk about? And I remember that that particular year, one of the topics was cats thinking outside the box, essentially, inappropriate elimination, right? So I told her that, and she said, wow, because I have a cat, and she's describing her scenario. So she has a cat who's missing the litter box or not hitting the litter box. I don't remember all the specifics, but I think I gave her some good advice after she told me exactly what was going on. How many boxes do you have? What kind of litter do you use? Have you had your cat medically checked? All those things, right?
Are there cats outside?
All those questions, right? I'm figuring out in my head, is it spraying or is it voiding? You know, all those things. So asked her the questions, gave her some advice, and she said, I think that might be helpful, actually, because she wasn't doing some things, whatever they were. And she said, I really should pay you back. I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't want any money. She said, oh, no, I wouldn't give you money. I said, okay. What do you mean? I still was not getting it. That's how naive I am. And I'm a big set, I live in Chicago, but I don't know this stuff about Vegas. So I said, what do you mean by that? And she says, do you have a pen? And I did. And she had a piece of paper and she wrote down her address. And I said, what's this? She said, it's my address. I said, well, what is that for? And she said, cash only, by the way. I said, what? So then I finally began to catch on. So that's what's important is that I helped her cat.
Yep. And I love that you were naive to not be like, oh, that's what she wants, right? Was your wife like, good job, baby. Good job.
Well, my wife is going with me this year. She's been on subsequent trips. And after hearing that story, perhaps that is why.
She's got me with. I would too. Yes. Yeah, I get that too. You know, people, so what do you do for a living? I'm a cat behaviorist. I have a cat.
Always. So let's talk about bird flu.
Well, okay. So,
or avian influenza or any number of terms.
H5N1, is it now? I was
That's the exact strain. And I'll circle back to that because that's important in a way for something else that Dr. Scott Weiss has brought up in his most recent blog post, actually. So this has been around for a while. And it's a worldwide epidemic, really. I mean, millions of birds, if not upwards of a billion, have been culled all over the world. But it's not only chickens or turkey, poultry, you know, on farms. It's also wildlife. It's wild geese. It's even songbirds and even bovines. So the bird flu has crossed over into cattle, which is part of the reason why we're about to talk about what we're about to talk about with cat food. It has been suggested that dogs are absolutely immune. That's not true. We don't know the extent of how dogs, I'll get to cats in a minute, how dogs can be affected or their susceptibility. But we do know at least one dog has passed. And we know that some countries, including China, aren't keeping careful records and or aren't telling us what they know anyway, necessarily, which harkens back to something else that happened in 2020. And it's no different. But this isn't only China. It's a worldwide issue, including, I forget the exact number of states identified in America, but it's nearly half the states where it's been identified in one place or another. I live in Chicago, in the heart of the city, near the heart of the city, a bald eagle was identified and ultimately euthanized as a result of bird flu. So I want to go back to dogs. So it had been suggested, since there had been few reports that dogs had gotten ill, that you could let your dog run safely around poultry if you live in a rural area around a farm, no problem. And that's not the case. But we don't know if dogs are less susceptible, are getting it as often and generally don't show symptoms because one dog has died. So nobody knows. Now let's talk about what you're here to talk about.
You mentioned harkening back to 2020, and that is exactly, it was like, oh, kids are fine. Oh, wait, there's kids. And then it was, okay, it's only the old or those kids, And we talked a little bit before coming on about, like, you know, we don't have all the answers right now. You had said to me, like, right. I don't know exactly how informative I'm going to be. I'm going to tell you what I know. But there's a lot, just like I told, I was in ICU with COVID in 2020. And I remember asking my doctor questions and him saying, ask me years from now, when we have all the information, we don't know.
Right.
we haven't seen. We have to see how it comes out. And, you know, they were saying they were afraid that cats could give it to us. Well, then no, cats can't give it to us. But then they turned around and said, P.S., we can give it to our cats. So quit throwing your cats out the doors. You know, it's just there's all of this and all of the information hasn't been gathered yet. So I guess I want to put that out as a disclaimer. We're going to talk about what we know to this point and then we'll try to put some action into it. But yeah, we don't have all the answers, right? It's still ongoing.
Yeah, and we're calling it bird flu. Now it's being called highly pathogenic avian influenza. HPAI more often, just as a point of reference. But to some extent, it's tomato, tomato. We all know what we're talking about here. Cats are susceptible. They're likely, he says carefully, more susceptible than dogs. A number of cats, unknown exactly, have succumbed. Well, we keep fairly careful track in America. Other countries don't. So worldwide, right, we don't. And even in America, we don't, because if a cat, especially, not as much today, but especially, say, a year ago, passed away, who does a necropsy or animal autopsy?
Absolutely. That is incredibly rare.
And a veterinarian may not suspect that had been the cause, because it was thought that if you don't live on a farm, and the cat isn't killing only farm animals, that particularly birds like chickens and turkeys, then it's not likely at all, if at all possible, for the cat to get bird flu. And that turns out not to be true. So we know today that if your cat is an indoor-outdoor cat, and I can and am happy to talk about why cats should be indoors only for a whole plethora of other reasons. With one exception, which I can talk about as well, here is another reason for cats to be indoors. Because if that cat were to, even a songbird that's already sick with bird flu or anything else, if that bird is carrying bird flu, then the cat could get it. What's more, that cat could bring it home to us where we get sick. How susceptible are we? Again, it's unknown. Now, the government has said we're concerned enough that if you work anywhere near farm animals, farm poultry animals, but now it's farm animals pretty much.
Well, yeah, you said it's crossing into bovine, into cows now, so.
Yeah. Then, if that's the case, then you need protective clothing to wear. And we know how to do that now because we did several years ago.
The lessons that COVID taught us.
Yeah. You know, so now it's available. We know where to get it. And most importantly, we know how to do it. But there does seem to be, let me rephrase that, there is a chance that people can get this too. Which people are more susceptible? We don't know yet. Are they mostly younger people, mostly people with other illnesses that have the comorbidities is the fancy term for that? Is it people that are only older? It doesn't seem to be the case. It just means people exposed. And why some individuals get ill and others don't is still unknown. But it may not be any of those things that I rattled off.
Well, I think the majority of our population has some sort of immunodeficiency anyway. I mean, as it's coming out, like,
actually,
you know,
that's true.
I have MS. Yeah. I know a lot of people that have fiber, chronic, just there's a plethora of autoimmune illnesses, and you can't throw a stone and not hit somebody who's got an autoimmune illness, which means you're going to catch it quicker and your body is less able to fight it off. That's something I am very aware of in going out in public since 2020. I'm a walking, you know, catch me. I want to get. Send it to
no,
me.
No, you don't want to get sick, but you can, is what you're
it's
saying.
It's the message I seem to be sending. Like, if there's something going around,
it's going to
glom onto me. Yeah.
So, the government has recently said that if you're around cows, don't drink the milk. Now, I don't know a lot of people who go to literally do that and, you know,
really
remember
thing,
that I
milk.
Love Lucy episode and Lucy sprayed the milk in her mouth and Lucy in Italy. Yeah.
Raw milk is a huge push right now for human beings and where you can get it.
Yeah. But it turns out at this moment, I have no clue one way or the other about health benefits or not of raw milk. But at this moment, because bird flu can actually be spread that way, the recommendation is to don't do that. Now, getting back to cats.
Okay, we got to stop for a break because Reed is not here to patrol me and I just realized I'm running low. So let's take a
all
break
right.
And then we're going to get back to the cats.
Exactly. Yeah, there's your tease.
There's your all teaser. Right. Everybody hang in there. We'll be right back after a word from our amazing sponsor.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I believe you were in the middle, Steve, of relating this now to the cat situation.
Right. So it has been identified that at least some percent of cats that have come down positively with bird flu or avian influenza virus or all these other names that it has had exposure to raw food diets. Now, if you want to begin a bar fight, the person next to you at the bar, talk to them about raw food diet or fresh, you know, what kind of food you should feed a dog, a cat, a pet ferret, whatever it is. And I mentioned ferrets, by the way, on purpose, because what I didn't say and should have, even though you're not, maybe you'll transition to do this one day, but you're not a podcast for ferret lovers.
We're not, but you don't know, people have different kinds of animals in their homes. So we're all about it and everybody else.
Yeah. So ferrets actually seem to be, European ferrets, those we have as pets, do seem to be also equally susceptible as cats. And incidentally, that's not a surprise knowing what we know. So when COVID-19 first came about, or what we're calling COVID-19 for the purposes of this, it was suggested, and the prediction turned out to be correct, that dogs wouldn't be as susceptible as cats or ferrets. And it turned out that ferrets and cats were equally susceptible, more or less. Of course, we heard about it more on cats because there aren't nearly as many pet ferrets, but people do get pet ferrets.
Oh, definitely. My husband used to have them.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
He had one years ago. Yeah.
Oh, they're
yeah.
a ton of fun.
Oh,
however,
yeah.
You shouldn't let your ferret out roaming outside anyway because of a whole assortment of other reasons,
right.
including laws. Having said that, the raw food deal goes for ferrets as well as it does cats and likely dogs too. So now, at this point in time, by my count, two raw food diets have been recalled because they've caused a problem in cats. But the veterinary experts, of which I say, again, I am not. I am reporting what infectious disease experts have said, and I've written about it. And when I wrote about it, the reply back has been, oh, there they go again, trashing raw food. I can assure you of one thing for sure. These infectious disease veterinarians don't care a hoot about the raw food versus kibble versus whatever argument. They're just reporting what they know. Period.
Well, that's it. Let me tell you something, okay? Let me reach into my drawer right beside me and
I'm
prove
looking.
On camera, I just dubbed, that I feed my cats partially a raw diet. I don't now because I don't know what's going on. This isn't bashing anyone, okay? I have a company that I freaking adore for raw food. And yeah, I do it. And it has helped for many ways. This is probiotics, prebiotics, blah, 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 blah. But stuff happens, right? Food gets tainted. Human food, animal food. It has nothing to do with the company. There are some crappy companies out there. Let's not joke around about that. But that isn't to say that anybody that has a recall is a crappy company. Stuff happens. Bird flu was not predicted in the environment. However, if this is a problem, then I pause on the raw diet until we have a handle on it. I have 12 cats in this house.
Whoa. Well, and that's the other concern, too, because if for some reason one cat does get it, then it's called highly pathogenic avian influenza is one of those terms that's used. Highly pathogenic, you know, so it is a concern, you know, for people that have multi-cat homes. And most people that have a cat don't have one. They have more than one, you know.
Right.
You go a little over.
Hopefully not 12.
But we love you for that.
I love your back.
So we don't know how this is all going to play out, but the recommendation, and you can go to AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, avma.org. Several state veterinary associations have said independently also what the AVMA has recommended. Some infectious disease veterinarians have also suggested that if it's me, I'm not feeding raw food anymore. And the official organizations have recommended against doing it for cats, for sure. For ferrets. Ferret. Take three.
Carrots.
Don't feed a carrot.
I don't think my cat, you want a carrot? No, they're not into it.
Probably not. No. For ferrets? Probably not. And for dogs? If it's me, I'm erring on the side of safety. But I also follow what these veterinary recommendations suggest. There are so many good diets out there. What's more, and now I will get myself into trouble with some of yours, of viewers.
Jump on in. The water's warm. Come on.
Yeah. There really has been. Truly. And then I'll tell you something surprising. But there really has been no evidence, scientifically, in a peer-reviewed study, in a journal, anywhere, as far as I know, that there is a benefit to feeding raw. And I understand, for cats more than dogs, how that might make sense. So, it turns out you may be able to cook your raw food. So, if you cook it, and if it's at a high enough temperature, like if you cook anything else, you know, the highly pathogenic avian influenza virus is a virus. So, you'll kill the virus.
Okay. That'll,
And no one really has said, to anyone's knowledge, that you can't cook raw food and take nutrients away from it.
And I just read today, because I used to get a brand that comes in these little frozen logs. I kept forgetting to thaw them. I can't remember to thaw the chicken for dinner tonight. I'm not going to remember to thaw my cat's food. So I gave up on that. But I read, I thought, oh, maybe with it being frozen, nah, them little suckers can stay frozen forever and they still come back. They're like in some frozen coma and they come back. So just because you freeze it, don't think that gets you out of hot water, according to what I read.
No. Freezing it can be helpful, but it doesn't solve the problem necessarily. It can, it cannot. Freeze drying, same thing. You know, it may or may not. However, heating it up, and I don't remember the temperature number and the amount of minutes it needs to be at that temperature. I'm sorry, I don't. But heating it up, Dr. Scott Weiss has that in one of his blogs called Worms and Germs. And he has a post where he indicates what that temperature is. I'll take his word for it. But I'm not a nutritionist and I'm certainly not a dietitian. So I just don't.
I know. But you've got your thumb on the pulse of all this stuff going on, which is why we reached out to you to say, what do you know?
And the point is that you can cook it. So if you are determined to feed raw food, go ahead and do it, I suppose, but cook it first, at least for now.
Which I can tell, I hear them. Do you hear them? That kills the nutrients.
And I don't know that that's true.
I don't know if it's true or not, but even if it kills it a little, it's kind of like the joke I used to give about having a Diet Coke with dinner. I don't drink soda anymore, but I used to have a diet guy who was a big Diet Coke fan. And it's like, are you really going to eat chocolate cake with your Diet Coke? Yeah, I am. Would you rather I have 12,000 calories or 10,000 calories? Right? Like, you know,
let's
err on the side of caution. Let's do what we got to do. If it's not as healthy, but I'm eliminating the risk of my cats getting sick, 12 of them.
And maybe you too. Getting sick. And the other option is just moist cat food.
That's what I did. I just went to look for the best. I have seen a lot of positive results since switching to raw. However, my raw is also infused with probiotics and prebiotics and blah, 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 blah. So that may be what the difference was. It may not be because it's raw.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And there's other ways to get probiotics.
Absolutely.
Purina Fortiflora comes to mind, right? You know, so there's other products as well.
That's two crazy cat ladies. You know, we love RJ and Adrian. They sell a wonderful probiotic. Yeah, there's all kinds of them out there that are good.
Yeah, I don't know what the crazy cat ladies sell, but I know about the companies I know about, the big ones.
All kinds of good stuff. Yeah, they're all about that holistic wellness. So yeah, I have like a drawer full. Yeah, that's why actually that freeze-dried cat food is in this drawer, because I have a cat cabinet out there that has all the litter and food and everything in it. And I took it out so no one would accidentally feed them, because I just don't want to take the chance. I loved this. I used it as toppers. I used it as snacks. I used it all the time, but I'm not taking a chance. Now, when I was looking into this, the proper, what is it, H5N1 is the proper term for this strain.
Oh, right. So thank you for bringing that up again. I asked this question, others have too. Could there be cross protection against either human flu or dog flu if we vaccinate cats? Because there's no vaccine for cats for an influenza virus. There's never been a need to. So is there cross-protection? And it's unlikely there is much, if any, cross-protection. Because those numbers and letters are different in our flu or the flus that dogs get. So it's unlikely that that would
be... wouldn't hit, right? Needs to be made specific.
Yeah. And beside, you know, I don't think you'd want to vaccinate without the vaccine being tested and approved.
Well, you're not wrong about that. You're not right. It really depends on how life-threatening.
But do you know what people have done? I just found out about this. It's really expensive to get, what's the other drug? Wegovy is one.
Oh, yeah. And
the other weight loss drug.
I could have told you and then you had said it. Now I'm like, ah.
Well, we see all the commercials all the time, right?
Semaglutides. I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, that's what they are. That's the name, right.
There's a popular one. It's not coming to me. Everybody who's listening to this is screaming at us right now.
I know. I can't believe.
I should know this.
But I just wrote about this, and you kind of bring it up in a way. Oh, Ozempic. So, I'm about to give you some interesting news, actually.
Okay.
But this is like, don't do this. So people, Ozempic and Wegovy do have very clever commercials, but they are expensive, right?
Oh, yeah.
So people, though, have purchased them for themselves, but think, okay, I've got an overweight cat, or not do it on purpose, but get it confused with the cat's diabetic injection. So instead of injecting the Wegovy into them or Ozempic, they inject a cat diabetes product.
And what happens to the cat?
And then vice versa. The cat gets very sick.
No doubt. I mean, that's not, oh my God.
And that has happened. So don't do that. Be very, very careful. And certainly don't do it on purpose, because people have actually done that. Now, here's the news. There's going to be, at some point in time, are you ready?
Yeah.
You likely know that 61% of cats are overweight or obese. By the year 2027, I'm making up that year. Could be sooner. It could be a little later. We will have a Wegovy or Ozempic for pets. For cats first, by the way. Now, what I can assure you is that these products will be specifically for pets and approved by the FDA. What I cannot assure you is that the commercials will be as clever or catchy.
You know, people are going to be like, it's cheaper than paying the people one, and they're going to be shooting themselves off of this cat.
Probably. And that's actually going to be a concern of the FDA. So that's the only, what you just said could be the reason. If there's a reason why it doesn't happen, it's not technology. It's that concern.
And I'll tell you, I know cat obesity was not our time. We need to come back talking about cat obesity. Like one of Rita's cats, Gigi, I call her the manatee. One time I went to visit Rita and she comes waddling out and I just lost it. I was like, she looks like a manatee. I think I offended her. I apologize later. But she's huge and she's been doctor checked up and down and Rita regulates and she's huge. And there's just no explanation for this.
So I happen to be on the board. You may not know this. I'm on the board of directors of the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, aside from some of the other boards I'm on. But the new thinking that we have is, yes, absolutely, overweight, obese cats can be, at least in part, sometimes in great part, sometimes, though, not no part at all, because people are feeding table food or too much food. So that may be happening, like we've always said. But it may never happen. And yet the cat may be overweight or obese. Why? So we don't know the answer. In part, it's genetics plays a role more than we thought, perhaps. But we actually don't know the answer to that. And the thing that the association where I'm on the board feels, and we all feel this way, that we have to stop the blame game. So it used to be, now, educating people not to feed their cats too much, fine. Educating how to feed as much as what to feed. Oh, I've been all about that for years. However, to stop pointing the finger, because a lot of people, if not maybe even the majority, we don't know, are actually doing it all right. They're doing everything right.
if you looked at my cats, you'd be like, that one's really skinny. Oh, these five are normal size. Oh, these two are pretty chunky. They're all doing the same thing. Believe me, I do not feed my cats table scraps. No one wants to open that Pandora's box, okay? You feed them one thing off your plate and they're like, hi, Mom. Every time you eat, and there's 12 of them. I've been on a diet. I have been on a diet the last few months, but I'm really not sure I want to go that extreme.
So what can we do to make a difference? And, you know, so we're beginning to understand all of this better, but in the process, and we educate veterinarians. That's part of the mission of this organization. So we are telling veterinarians, and, you know, it'll take a year or two or three for this to happen fully, to change their communication that they have with clients. First of all, it's a difficult thing to bring up with clients if you're a veterinary professional, because frankly, that client looking right back at you may be overweight or obese as well. So that's one issue. If not, you know, everybody has someone in their family that is. So it touches people as well, you know? And also, I think that I could talk till I am blue or you're blue in the face about why it's a problem. You know, I think most cat owners actually know that.
I think it's always important to unpack where something came from. And those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it, right? That is the kind of my mantra. But we got to fix the problem, right?
So yeah,
we are over time, but I'm going to ask you, will you please come back? Will you please come back and talk about our pets and obesity? Because this is, we all need this so bad. I'll try to get Rita.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
I paid for two of you.
You got it. That's
I'm
right.
I'm on two of you.
That's right. You got it. Well, before we wrap up, I just want to leave us some action items. So, A, we're not bashing anyone. All y'all that are really trying to help our cats are great. Thank you for your service. But something has happened. Some food has gotten this. It is a thing. We don't know how big or how whatever. But my personal take is err on the side of caution and don't give them something that may be a problem until they get this worked out. Would that be fitting with your line?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an ever-evolving situation. So I'll be reporting on it. My website is stevedale.tv. Or
stevedale.tv. Fancy.
Yep. And like you, I host podcasts and all the rest, as well as write stories. And the American Veterinary Medical Association, as always, doing a great job of keeping up with us. And avma.org is their website. So wherever you want to go to a trusted source. Worms and Germs, I mentioned, Dr. Scott Weiss. I know him. He has no idea I'm promoting his site, but he's in Canada, and he's one of the leading infectious disease experts on the planet, you know.
Amazing.
He happens to have a blog that's written for professionals, but you can go there too.
I encourage everybody to check all this. I do. Yeah. Like if I look up, like, you know, I was looking into this when I'm like, okay, how safe is, you know, what's the problem? And then I look at another site and another site and another site because people and different opinions, and this one says new cases just get, you know, stuff is evolving all of the time. And this one may have this great information. This one may have something to add to that. So honestly, hit them all up. Go to avma.org, go to stevedale.tv. And really, honestly, don't listen because it's going to sound like I'm, you know, trying to blow up your skirts here. But Steve really does have his finger on the pulse of everything going on with cats and dogs. So if you have questions, he really is an amazing resource, which is why when we were discussing it, we said, let's see what Steve knows.
Thank you. Thank you. So, I don't generally wear a skirt, but nevertheless, I thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, maybe next year's Cat Expo, I'll see you in a skirt.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
Thank you for coming
back. Thank you.
Talking to us about this. I know we don't have all the information, but you've at least given us some ground to tread on and know where we're walking. So,
okay.
And my forever gratitude, and Rita's too, to Mark Winter, our amazing producer, who is pretty much everything and does such a great job with us. And Rita, we missed you, especially Steve. He really missed you. All right, everybody, have a great time. We'll see you next time. And remember, every day is Saturday.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.